Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at a bunch of places, including Baseball Prospectus and the Hardball Times. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees. You can find us on Instagram at Locked On Yankees. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts, and I'm in the Spotify green room at Stace Gotts. We also have a YouTube channel that'll be up in a couple of weeks, but if you want to go and subscribe, feel free. Just type in Locked On Yankees and you'll find it. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. We have a sweep to talk about. I know, I can't believe it either. The Yankees swept the Marlins in three games. And yes, I know it's the Marlins, but we'll talk about the Marlins. They have some pretty good pitchers on that team, and don't overlook them because they may not be winning anything this year. Look for them in the future because I saw some things from that team this weekend. Anyway, we'll talk about the sweep. We'll preview the series with the Orioles, which begins today. No off day for the Yankees. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Let's talk about what happened in Miami this weekend, because the Yankees actually swept a series. I can't believe it either. And it looked like up until the seventh or eighth inning yesterday that they were going to continue their "we can't sweep a series to save our lives" thing that they have going on in 2021. But Don Mattingly did them a solid and went to the bullpen. The Yankees were able to score runs against the bullpen and win the game. We should also talk about Anthony Rizzo. Let's talk about that first and what he did this weekend. He hits a home run in his first game as a Yankee. 450 feet, no doubter. Anyone else feel absolutely giddy seeing a swing from a left-handed batter like that and a ball traveling that far? It feels like it's so long since we've seen that. It feels as if the Yankees lineup has been so righty-heavy that seeing someone like Rizzo in the lineup doing stuff like that is almost a foreign concept, and it almost feels like we haven't seen it since Jason Giambi, which I know is not true, but it just feels that way. And what a welcome sight that is. Anthony Rizzo looks like he should have been a Yankee all along, to be honest. He fits in, wow, just amazing. His defense at first, his offense, his timely hitting, just wow, what an addition. And honestly, if the Yankees hadn't traded for him, this wouldn't have been a sweep this weekend. Hate to tell you, but he really helped the Yankees out this weekend, big time. So the Yankees sweep the Marlins, and the Rays and the Red Sox played each other this weekend, and now the Rays are in first place in the AL East, and the Red Sox are looking up at them. It's only a game and a half, but things are changing in the AL East a bit. Red Sox didn't do much during the trade deadline. I'm sure that their expectation is Chris Sale is on his way back. Why trade for a pitcher when you're getting Chris Sale back? That's probably their mindset. They did get Kyle Schwarber, or Schwaba, as they're going to say, up in Boston. And he has the potential to change that lineup a lot. Just his presence in the lineup and the way he can hit the crap out of the ball in that lineup. That's a big move. But I feel like it was an underwhelming trade deadline for the Red Sox, and this might bite them in the ass, which wouldn't be a sad thing for me. But I don't know. I feel like the Rays may be the team to beat now in the AL East. I feel like the Red Sox are falling off a little bit there. The other thing about that is the Yankees are 16-4 in their last 20, and it should be 18-2. Actually, it should be 19-1 if you count the Astros game and the two Red Sox games. Editing Stacy here. I'm sure I mixed up the numbers. It's 14-6, which means they should be 18-2 if you count all those horrible bullpen losses. If you include the July 4th game against the Mets, the game against the Astros, and the two meltdowns against the Red Sox. My bad. So the Yankees are quietly playing well. They're beating teams they're supposed to beat. You're supposed to beat the Marlins. But as I said at the jump, the Marlins have exciting players. The other night they had, I think, three guys making their major league debuts. And I got a kick out of the fact that they had three guys named Brian in the lineup. Two B-R-I-A-Ns and one B-R-Y-A-N. And I just thought that was amusing that that particular name was the popular name in their lineup. But they have a lot of exciting young players they're pitching. Alcantara, yesterday, my God, that is a good young pitcher. And, you know, even Aaron Judge joked in his post-game interview, basically saying, yeah, you know, thanks for bringing the bullpen in, because that really changed the complexion of the game. Because if that guy kept pitching, I believe I saw that his season high was 108. And I'm going to double check and see how much he was pitching, because he was up around 91. I believe that was what it was going into the seventh. And I just want to double check the numbers. But what a pitcher that guy is. He made the Yankees look silly. Not that that's been hard this season, because if you have a changeup, you're going to make the Yankees look silly. And teams know that. So 7 innings for him, only 2 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. He threw 99 pitches, so he was below his season high, but 99 in 7 innings. I mean, what a job by him. I was impressed. And as I said, you know, the Marlins may not be doing anything right now, but look for them in the future to shake up the AL East. In a moment, we will talk about the sweep in Miami and the impact that some of those traded players had. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. It's now August 2nd. We are getting down to the wire here, people. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So let's talk about the impact that the newly traded or newly acquired guys, because we acquired them, they were traded by other teams. Let's see what their impact is so far on the Yankees. Rizzo, as I said, if they didn't have Anthony Rizzo, they wouldn't have swept that series. He's a big impact on both ends of the ball, defense and offense. And as I said, he really looks like the type of guy who should have been a Yankee his entire career. It was odd to see him in the Yankee road grays at first, but after a few at-bats, I got used to it, and it seemed like he belonged. Clay Holmes came into the game. Actually, he came into a couple of games. But yesterday, 1 2/3 innings, 1 hit, 1 strikeout, doing what he's supposed to do. He threw 22 pitches. 15 of them were strikes. Joely Rodriguez picked up the win because of his timing in the game. He pitched 1/3 and picked up the win. Good for him. Aroldis Chapman looks like he's coming back to life a little bit there. It's not as scary watching him pitch the 9th or the 10th, whatever it may be, depending on who they're playing against. And it seems like whatever issues he had, occasionally he'll throw a ball where you're thinking, oh boy, Gary Sanchez didn't expect that to go there. but he's looking a little better there, and it's not as anxiety-inducing watching him pitch. Zach Britton, he's getting there a little bit too. Still slightly frightening watching him play. I think he just needs a few more appearances and maybe he'll get things together. Joey Gallo got his first Yankee hit yesterday, and it was the first, I believe it was the first hit for the Yankees all game. And it was, right? It was the only hit that, oh no, he gave up two, that's right. But it was the first hit that Alcantara gave up. But Joey Gallo, big double, almost was a home run. So at least he got that out of the way before heading to Yankee Stadium for the series against the Orioles, which begins today. I think it was very good for Gallo to get his first hit then, and that he didn't have to wait until doing it in front of the home crowd. That just would have put more pressure on him. So I'm glad he got that out of the way. Rizzo, he had no issue at all. He stepped right in and in his first game hit that bomb, which was, and it was great to see the Yankees players react to the home run. And some of them had some things to say about the addition of Anthony Rizzo that were telling. DJ LeMahieu said something. Aaron Judge said something. Something about the change that it made. And it feels like the Yankees being so righty heavy was actually putting pressure on the guys who were right-handed, because there was no left-handed, really. There were no real left-handed power bats in the lineup. And now the Yankees have two. Because even if you looked at yesterday's lineup, it was lefty-righty, lefty-righty, lefty-righty. You even had Tyler Wade at the bottom of the lineup, lefty. And it was so much more balanced. And the addition of those two guys, Gallo and Rizzo, even if they don't do something in a game, even if they, or even if they don't do anything major in a game, just having them in the lineup to balance it out changes this team so much. This was a big boost. It was something the Yankees needed. I talked about this on another podcast that I just recorded about an hour ago. I was asked about the Yankees' roster construction and why it took so long for them to get big lefty bats in the lineup. And I think that Cashman and Hal were hoping that the lineup would just do well as it was. And then they realized it couldn't. And then when they got the chance to get these two guys, Gallo was linked to the Yankees. People were always talking about wanting Joey Gallo on the Yankees because they wanted to see his bat at Yankee Stadium hitting home runs into the short porch. But Anthony Rizzo was an added bonus and a shock, and he just jumped right in there. And this is a really big boost. I mean, I know they still have questions in the rotation, even in the bullpen, but Joely Rodriguez and Clay Holmes really helps that bullpen a lot. And they're good replacements for Luis Sessa and Justin Wilson. I feel like the addition of Gallo and Rizzo just on its face makes this team so much better. And we're seeing that Rizzo is making an immediate impact. So this is a way different team than it was on Wednesday of last week. And you'll see that. And as I said, they were playing well heading into the trade deadline. Sure, they had those bullpen blowups, but if it weren't for those bullpen blowups, the Yankees would be in a much better position right now in the AL East. Much better. They'd be just behind the Red Sox. So they still have a chance to turn this around. Do I see them taking over the division lead? No. Not unless something miraculous happens. But do I see them winning a wild card? Yes, I do. This team is a playoff team now, which is great for us. It's not going to be easy because they still have to fight off the A's and the Mariners and the Blue Jays. It's going to be tough, but I see them winning at least one of the two wild cards. Now, my nightmare scenario, of course, is the Yankees and Red Sox having to play each other in a wild card game. Oh no. See, we brought this up on the other podcast I was a part of, and I joked at how I would have to ask my doctor for some Xanax because there's no way I could get through a matchup like that without being altered in some way. There's no way. I would not be able to sit through that. No. I'm kind of hoping that doesn't happen. But it probably will. Now that it's out in the universe, that's what's going to happen. Prepare yourselves for it. It's going to be horrible. Yeah, but just prepare yourselves for that. In a moment, we will preview the series with the Orioles. But first, did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone? And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you listen to the show all the time, you know I constantly talk about mint brownie. It's my favorite thing in the world. But the other flavors, in case you don't know, you have coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box. You'll get two of each of the 9 flavors, you try them out, and then whatever is your favorite, you get a box of it, or 2 or 3, like I do. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and they're good for you. So go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Like I said, you can get the mixed box, figure out what you like, and then start ordering your favorite. Again, go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. So let's preview the Yankees and the Orioles. Andrew Heaney will be pitching for the Yankees. They got him very late on Friday. That was announced right before the trade deadline ended. And some people were questioning why they got Andrew Heaney. His numbers aren't that great this year, but he's been strong in his last few outings. Let me go through all the numbers for you. So he's 6-7 with a 5.27 ERA, has 113 strikeouts in 94 innings. Well, that's a good number there. Now, his last 7 games aren't great. Those splits aren't good if you look at them. But his last 2 starts, July 22nd against Minnesota and July 28th against Colorado, which I know, Minnesota's not good, Colorado's not good, but you're supposed to pitch well against teams that are that bad. Now, he gave up 2 runs against Minnesota, but he pitched 7 innings. That's what I'm looking at. If a guy can last 7 innings or 6 innings and give the Yankees length out of the starting rotation, that's a good thing. Someone from the Angels, not from the Angels, someone who watches the Angels said about Heaney that he has a tendency to, when he makes a mistake, they're a big mistake. You know, when he hangs a pitch, they'll usually be hit for a home run. But that if he gets past the 1st or 2nd inning unscathed, he usually has a good outing. So to watch how he starts, and if he starts off well, he should have a good outing. So that's something to look for tonight. He will be up against Jorge Lopez. Jorge Lopez is 2-12 on the season with a 6.19 ERA. He has 90 strikeouts in 96 innings. Now, if you listen to this show, you know that I joke about the Yankees having issues with guys who have bloated ERAs. But now I feel with Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo in the lineup, this changes things a little bit. He's a righty pitcher. His last start was against the Marlins. He only lasted 2 innings. He gave up 5 runs on 7 hits, walked 2, struck out 2. Now, if you watch the series against the Marlins, they don't hit the ball. So that could work in the Yankees' favor. They could beat up on Jorge Lopez tonight. They should beat up on Jorge Lopez tonight, but you never know. And actually, let's see. All right, his last 3 starts. He started July 17th against Kansas City, 4 2/3, 4 runs on 7 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. Against Washington on the 23rd, 4 2/3, 1 run on 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. So you don't know what you're going to get from him, but all 3 of those teams are not great. And the 5 runs against Miami is something to look out for. And the Yankees should just, honestly, the Yankees should beat up on him. And if they don't, that'll be embarrassing for them. Tomorrow night, Gerrit Cole up against Alexander Wells. Cole, as you know, is 10-6 with a 3.11 ERA, had a rough start his last time out. Wells is 1-1 with a 5.28 ERA. So he's only pitched 15 1/3 innings, 12 strikeouts in those 15 1/3 innings. And he's actually Australian. I didn't know that about him. Now, Cole, his last start was not good. at all. That was the game that turned into the 14-0 game against the Rays. 5 1/3, gave up seven runs, I'm looking at the wrong column, on 6 hits, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts. It was a very strange pitching line for Gerrit Cole. For someone to have 10 strikeouts but also give up 7 earned runs is just silly and not the kind of start you want from your ace. And on Wednesday, it'll be Matt Harvey against Jameson Taillon. Now, this is an interesting matchup because Matt Harvey's numbers overall don't look good, but he's been pitching okay of late. Yeah, very good of late. He's 6-10 with a 6.20. Let's say that again. He's 6-10 with a 6.20 ERA, 72 strikeouts in 94 1/3 innings. But his last 3 games, July 18th against Kansas City, July 24th against Washington, July 30th against Detroit. Now, again, not all good teams, but he lasted 6 innings against Kansas City, lasted 6 innings against the Nationals, and 6 1/3 against Detroit. Did not give up a run in any of those starts. Gave up 3 hits against Kansas City, 1 against Washington, 6 against Detroit. Again, no runs. 2 strikeouts against Kansas City, 4 against the Washington Nationals. Why did I say their full name? I don't know. And 5 against Detroit. So he's picking things up lately, but against bad teams. He also pitched against the Yankees earlier this season and kind of held them at bay. So it'll be intriguing to watch that matchup between him and Taillon. Now, Taillon, overall, as you all know, 7-4 with a 4.11 ERA, but he's picking things up. He has 98 strikeouts in 102/3 innings. His last start was against the Marlins, 5 2/3, no runs on 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, got the win. Actually, he's gotten the win in his last 3 games. The 2 previous starts before Miami were both against Boston. Thank goodness for Jameson Taillon against Boston. The first game on the 18th was 5 1/3, no earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. The 24th against Boston, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. So not dominating, but seven runs against the Red Sox is nothing to downplay, I want to say. That's a big deal. The fact that he won his last 2 starts against the Red Sox is a big deal, considering how the Red Sox have treated the Yankees so far in 2021. So Taillon is picking things up. I would like for him to pitch a little longer than 5 2/3 like he did his last start. He should be able to. As I said, he's picking things up in his last few starts and looking a lot better, looking more like the guy that the Yankees were hoping to get. Overall, right now, the Orioles are 37-67. They are not a good team, but they do pull out wins against good teams. I believe they beat the Astros in a series. I don't remember if it was in July or in June, but I believe they won 3 out of 4. And it was in Houston. So they do like occasionally embarrassing good teams, and the Yankees need to look out for that. The Yankees right now, 56-48. The standings, as I said, have changed, with the Rays going ahead of the Red Sox. And wild card wise, Boston is in the first wild card spot. Oakland is in the second wild card spot. But the standings are odd because Oakland has played more games than the Yankees. They're 60-47. The Yankees are 56-48. So they're close in the loss column, but Oakland has played 4 more games. So the Yankees are 2.5 back. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. So to recap, the Yankees finally sweep a series. It's a miracle. Their trade acquisitions are making an immediate impact, and now they get to play the Orioles for 3 games at home. The Yankees have been on a roll since they hit 500, and they need to continue that roll, and I believe they can. We'll see what happens. Their schedule kind of opens up a little bit. It's not as scary as it has been in the past, so this is the time for them to make up some ground, both in the wild card and in the AL East. Will it happen? Guess we'll find out. For now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on MLB and the Yankees and baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate this podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Monday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.